You're listening to Matters of the Heart podcast,
hosted by Jeremy Watkins
and Sade Champagne.
Tune in to Grindhard Radio at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time every Friday.
And 57WLLE.net, Raleigh's home for old school jams, on Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. We'll be discussing love, friendship, family, faith, and more. Welcome to Episode 7 of Matters of the Heart podcast. This show was co-created and is co-hosted by me, Sade Champagne, and Jeremy Watkins. Thanks to Kata Mafiaso from Grindhard Radio for creating our show's theme song. Matters of the Heart is focused on love and building healthy, holistic relationships from a grace-based perspective. We'll be discussing romance, family life, friendship, our relationships with ourselves, our relationship with God, and so much more. Each episode will have 5 segments: hot topics, myths and misconceptions, our main topic, Q&A, where we answer your questions, and prayer requests, where we pray for you and your loved ones. You can always send in your questions and prayer requests to us on our social media pages, Jeremy Watkins or Sade Champagne. Each episode will air at 6 p.m. Pacific Time on Grindhard Radio every Friday and at 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time every Sunday on 57WLLE.net Internet Radio. Each episode will be available to listen to again and download on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Live365, YouTube, Grindhard Radio, and countless other streaming platforms. Jeremy, how you doing?
Girl, you already know I'm lit and ready to spit. Let's go.
That's, what are your new sayings?
I'm going to come up with one every week. Every week.
Oh my God. You're such a wordsmith. I love that about you. Yeah. One of the millions of things.
Thank you. And I'm a dad, too. That was the dad part of me. Forgive me. I'm excited.
Like, that's my
as
dad
always.
You're so silly. All right, so we're going to get into our first segment. We're going to get into our hot topic where we discuss something that's popular, whether if it's popular as in current right now or just a popular topic, period. So, Jeremy, I want us to talk about swinging couples. We're going to talk about swinging couples.
Okay, let's do it.
This is very popular. We're going to talk about the rise of this in the media and entertainment industry and how it affects couples in the long run, and can it work? So we're going to first talk about the rise of this in the media and entertainment industry. So what's been crazy is, you know, we talked about this, I don't know what episode it was, maybe episode two or three with like relationship goals and fake couple goals. And I have been shocked to find out recently how many celebrity couples and popular couples swinging and throughout their relationship and that do that now. I want to say comedian Monique has talked about her and her husband swinging, and supposedly she was the one who came up with that idea, which we're going to go more into that during this segment. And then Teyana Taylor, and she's a famous singer, and her husband is a famous basketball player. They are also swingers as well, and she says it's something that she was more into. And then the list is long. There's some couples who have been more upfront about it, and then others who obviously you don't either find out till later on or they just keep it quiet. And so it's very popular, and obviously you hear it a lot in music. You see it in movies and shows, like even like the Sister Wives and all these things where people are having polygamous relationships. And so what are your thoughts on it, and how do you think it affects couples in the long run?
It is the proof that our American dream is a nightmare, 180%. It is the proof that no matter how much we attain, it will never be able to fill our hearts. And especially when you hear in the celebrity sex or the people who are elites as far as financial, you know, background, are the people who seem to be practicing this the most, because there's this thing where they're trying to find the next fix, the next extension past the line, the next chase, the next pursuit to fill them. and they're even willing to cost them their marriages. They're even willing to surrender their love to find something that cannot sustain. And it's really saddening. It's disheartening that people, instead of dealing with the insufficiency inside of themselves, they would rather create another cycle for them to attach themselves to, as though it will be the resolve of their heart, instead of just saying, hey, you know what? I've realized that there's something in me that's missing. And and I love you so much that I would never bring anyone else into this covenant, that I'm willing to search for that thing that satisfies, in which we know is God, but they don't know, right? And so it is this thing where we are willing to risk everything that we even call love. This is how disheartening this is. The thing that we're after the most is love. And then once we believe we have it, we're willing to even surrender that to say that we're filled. That is how desperate we are for us to find something that satisfies us, that never will. And I think that's the most disheartening thing. And so, you know, the question was, is regarding to how is this affecting relationships? What it is affecting relationships now for us common people who are not into the financial background or have, you know, the access to all of those luxuries. Now for us common folk, we're asking ourselves, what do we have to surrender when it comes to love to accept that will never be enough? We're already making it in dating. We've already made those decisions. We've already accepted the fact that the people who we may date are already going to cheat on us. We've already made provision for it, which is terrifying. We've already made provision for for the failures and the mistakes that should never be allowed in relationships. And we have allowed ourselves to stay for a lifetime with someone who already decided that they're not willing to stay past the next moment. It's already happening. It's already perverting the sacredness, the purity, and the beauty of relationship. We've already removed it out of the way to the point to where, as I think we talked about in our last episode, Sade, where we talked about the live pornography, and I said we are now just pieces of gum that we put in. Once we're done with it, we spit it out and throw away the wrapper. Relationships are becoming that too. It is exchangeable. It is easily to break and destroy, to remold, to desecrate, to begin to reduce its value of it in order for us, because watch this, we don't want to meet the standard of true love, that we'd rather reduce it and live in a nightmare and still call it love, and it's nothing close to that. That's how far we have come in this topic that exposes that the American dream has been the wrong dream. The American dream should always be love, but it's not. It's trying to have everything else in the world and trying to add love to it and realizing that we never had love to bring into it from the beginning, because we've chased after everything outside of love, realizing that we've never found it. And we'd rather hold on to the things that we gathered that will never keep us, instead of letting it all go to find the love that will always sustain us. And this is what the root of it is. And it's so sad, Sade. It's so disheartening.
So do you think that it can work in the long run?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. And I think I don't even want to go into this part. I think we think just because people stay together for a lifetime, we think that they had a successful marriage. I want to talk about that.
Oh, you better get out of my head. Yes. Speak on it, Jeremy. In my head, as usual. In my heart.
I'm just saying. We think that. Like, people are like, well, they had a loving relationship. They were together for 40 years. And then I said, just because.
And?
Come on. Go ahead.
No, just and, because they say 40 years. I'm like, and just because they're together.
And right? like just because they have spent a lifetime together, we think that we call it success. But the success is not that we endured. The success is how we endured. And just because I have created a pattern and a condition to remain with someone doesn't mean that love was ever present in the remaining. And I think that because...
I'm sitting in that now. Your famous words, I'm sitting in that.
We have to sit in it. You have to sit in it to receive it, because it's so good. And I think that what the issue is that we have learned that society is doing, which this is the proper exposure of. We continue to change what love is because we are afraid of actually becoming the standard of it, because we don't want to yield to it, because we don't want to surrender to it, because we know that if we actually surrender to love, guess who we're surrendering to? Jesus. And it's the one person that we don't want, but it's the one person we can't live without, because everything in the world will never satisfy us but him, and we know it.
Mm-hmm.
So we're like, if we keep reducing the definition, if we just tweak the standard, if we would just belittle the expectation, if we would just change and alter it to meet our conditions, our demands, then we can call it love, because it lasted. And they realized that it wasn't 40 years of lasting or living. In fact, it was 40 years of dying and destroying one another. And that's not success.
For some reason, too, Jeremy, we always want to define the depth of something by the length of time. But just because something has been going on or has been growing or stirring for a long time doesn't mean that it's anything of depth. Because we know people who have been together for decades, and yet it's like they're sleeping next to a stranger. And then you can have people who may have been knowing each other for 6 months, a year, 2 years, and it's like you've known that person your whole life. So we can't automatically equate the length of something to the depth of something.
Girl, I'm about to throw six shoes at you. Oh my gosh. I'm about to throw six shoes at you. Did you just say that we continually measure things by the length of time?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
Not the length of love.
Mm-mm.
The length of time. Wait a minute. Hold up, Sade. Not the depth of love.
Mm-mm.
Not how far we were willing to go. Not how deep we were willing to stay. Not how willing we were willing to let go of our conditions, but it's because we stayed until the end. We measure. Oh my gosh, Ada, you just had a mouthful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you'll see, too, that so many women struggle with this a lot, too. I obviously, I'm not a man, so I can't speak for men, but I know that women struggle with this a lot. Well, they will stay in toxic and destructive relationships because they don't want to lose, and they feel like they've invested so much time, so much energy, they have kids together, they have told everyone this, they have been through this, they don't want to lose, and so they will stay there even though it's slowly killing them, just because the amount of time, as opposed to willing to say, okay, yes, it may look like I have lost all of this, but how much more am I going to gain? How much more life am I going to be able to live when I'm able to be free from this toxic and destructive relationship that I'm calling love, but it's not love at all?
Well, I know I'm not the host of this show, but you know, if I was, I would be like, well, guys, we have slayed that topic.
Yeah. Just to let you know, like, how personal this is for me, this was probably, I want to say, a few years ago, I was attending a comedy show, and I happened to see a girl I went to high school with, and then her fiance was working at the comedy club. And so I was just excited to see her, found out they had just had a baby, beautiful baby girl. And she was telling me, like, oh, yeah, we can get you and your mom discounts for tickets for shows. So if you want to exchange contact info, and I was telling them about all the things I've been up to, what I do in the community, young women I work with, all the different work I do. And so I get home, I get a text from him. I'm thinking that I'm going to get a text with, like, about everything, like, oh, we're going to be having this show coming up. She was there at the time, so she knew, like, we were exchanging contact info, it was to be in touch with both of them. And so I get home and I get a text from him saying, hey, I know this may be kind of inappropriate, but me and my girl were wondering if you want to have a threesome with us.
Wow.
And said, she thinks that you are really cute, and it was her idea. And I was, like, baffled. And obviously, it took me a moment to respond. He's like, I'm so sorry if this is inappropriate. And I was like, I gave you guys my number so that we could be able to get discounts on shows that are coming up. I said, did you not hear anything that I talked to you about and what I do? I said, why would I be interested in this? And he was like, I'm so sorry, you know, please forget I sent you this. And I was like, please don't ever text me again and please delete my number. And what was so crazy to me is, number one, this is the unfortunate thing, is that a lot of times people have children that are involved. So you have brought a baby girl into the world and to this dysfunctional relationship. And let's just follow along with what he said, that she was the one who's okay with this. How insecure is she feeling as a woman that we have to say, in order for me to keep him here, in order for him to be satisfied, I have to allow other women into our relationship? And there's so many women who can relate to that. We look at people as thinking they have it all together and they're so happy. Number one, you have no idea what's going on behind closed doors. And you thinking that people are so happy and they have all the things that you want, you have no idea what's really going on. And number two, as Jeremy was just talking about, people will be looking for anything that they can in order to try to satisfy that need within them, which is the need to be loved and filled by God. And so I really wanted to have us talk about that segment.
And I partner with Sade in that encouragement that it is not worth you deepening and stretching and widening that hole of incompletion and lack of fulfillment for you. That's going to cause other people pain, that even though people say yes to it, they don't know that they're saying yes to the pain that comes with it.
Mm-hmm.
That after that sexual encounter has happened, pain is still there after it's done.
Mm-hmm.
And I want you guys to be minded of that. I want us to be conscious of it. And when we bring people into our pain, we're tying them into the trauma that we don't even know how to escape. And if we don't know how to free ourselves from it, what makes you think that they will once they join you in it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let us be mindful.
So we're going to move into segment myths and misconceptions. So we love being able to take down very popular held beliefs, and we love to just be able to stomp them into the ground and just pour grace into it. And so I want to have us talk about, Jeremy, finding your calling and your purpose. And, you know, there's a famous quote by Mark Twain that says, the two most important days in your life are the day you were born and the day you find out why. And, you know, that's like one of the most popular quotes in the world. And so I want to have us talk about how our society's obsession with dreams and finding your purpose and calling, and how, Jeremy, you know this, it's just as popular in the church and religion as it is in every area of society.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You inspired this topic of this segment. And so first off, you end up having me speak on this at one of your Bible studies. Why did you want me to speak on this, and how does this topic speak to you, and what are your thoughts about finding your calling and your purpose?
I love how mystical you made it.
Because that's how people make it sound. They're like, it's like a thing, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, you're bringing death to that person's heart.
It's like, it is the end-all and be-all of all human existence. Number one, the reason why I wanted you to talk on it is because I've experienced so many Christians that I've encountered who have no idea who they are, because they are so obsessed with what they were made to do instead of who they were made to be. And they have perverted their design of being a human being into a human doing. I'm not going to lie, I stole that from you. And so when I saw this in so many discipleship teachings that I was leading, and I saw it even in myself, where I was striving and I was performing, and I realized no matter how much I strived and how much I performed, I was exhausted, I was tired, I was empty, I felt disconnected from God, and my perspective of God was so small, it was so minute, it was so tiny. I was like, man, I really feel like me not being able to fulfill my purpose, or me not being able to know my calling, was a bigger reality than God himself.
Wow.
And I was like, so many other Christians are struggling in this. Like, if you ever go into the room and you share your testimony, yeah, this is what the Lord has been sharing with me. And, you know, God's been speaking this. Oh, it's been such a great time with the Lord just sharing this. And, oh, man, when God does this, and then people go and they go, man, I don't hear God like that. I don't hear God like you. I don't pray like you. You know, I don't know my word like you. You know, I don't study like you. You know, I read devotionals, and you know, that's the way that I do God. And what that is that's our defense that is that begins to be exposed, that we're actually afraid to realize that what we're living from is not the place where God is living from. And we don't know where to start. We don't know where to start, Sade. We're afraid of asking. We're afraid of asking. And so that's what plagued it for me. And I was like, this is huge, because if this is who we are as the church to the world, no wonder the world doesn't want to be a part of this, because we're living as they are.
It's more of the same thing.
Exactly the same
They're like,
thing.
I can do this the rest of the week.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? And I don't have to drink communion. I don't have to go to no life groups. I don't have to read no book. This is just a part of my DNA. So those were my reasons of having you teach to our discipleship group at the time, is because we were all dying from it. And then number two, I'm seeing so many believers in churches around the country and connecting with them and hearing their story. I was like, I think this is one of the biggest issues in the church around the world. What do we do to stop this? So that's where that came from.
So for those who are listening, finding your calling and your purpose. One of my favorite passages is from John 6:28-29, where they ask Jesus, what exactly does God want us to do? And Jesus replied, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. I'm going to read that again. What exactly does God want us to do? Jesus replied, the work of God is this, to believe in the one God has sent. Your calling is to be a son or daughter of God. Your calling is to receive eternal life as a free gift that was given to us in the person of Jesus Christ. This eternal life includes the saving of your mind, your body, your spirit, your soul, your life, your entire being. Erroneously, many people, when they preach the gospel, and they're not even preaching the gospel, they're preaching something else. They only preach about God coming to save your soul. They always talk about people as a soul. No, you are a full human being, and God wants to save all of you, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, relationally, socially, every single part of you. This is why a lot of people are so unsatisfied, because they do not know the full gospel, and they think that God only cares about them as a soul, and God doesn't care about their body. Of course God cares about your body. That's why he came in the person of Jesus, and he died as a person who is fully God and fully human, and he rose from the grave as fully God and fully human and ascended into the heaven. That is a foreshadow of what God is doing in us. He is resurrecting us as well. And we too will have immortal, glorified, physical human bodies, just like Jesus. God cares just as much about every part of you, where even should you die a physical death in this world, you will be raised to life just like Jesus. You will never be separated from this life, joy, God's very quality of life ever again. Your calling is to remain in grace, and not allow the broken systems of this world to once again get you caught up in living like an orphan with no place to call your home. If you have believed on Jesus today, you are walking in your calling. This is what's important, everyone. Your calling has to be something that can never be taken away from you, and that will stand the test of time and the challenges of this world. As we all know, we are in the thick of a pandemic right now. In the past, someone would have said, and even I would have said erroneously, that my calling was to be a singer, a performer, to be a speaker, to be a mentor, all the things that I do. Notice I said the things that I do. They're not the things that I am, even though they are part of me. And so I would say those things are my calling. Well, right now, being in a pandemic, I have not been able to do a lot of those things in person. So now what? Am I no longer walking in my calling and my purpose? What if I were to lose my voice? What if I were not to be able to perform ever again? Do I no longer have any purpose or calling in this world? I used to find my identity in my gifts, in my good works, and in all the good things I could get to happen for me and others in this world. And when we find our life in the things of this world and what we can do, it will bring us a lot of pain, remorse, heartache, anxiety, and bitterness. And we always talk about this, how your gifts, your good works, all the things that you do, they are the cherries on top. They are not the totality of who you are, if there's any part of you that thinks that you can get to this perfect pinnacle in life and do all these things for God and it will make you feel satisfied, we are here to tell you today that you will be very disappointed and sadly mistaken. God doesn't need worker bees or bunnies. God has always wanted family and friendship, sons and daughters. God has always wanted you to come from your being. No matter what you do in this world, no matter what you can attain, no matter what relationship that you have, you will never be more loved, more successful, more blessed, more anything by God than you are right now. God has already gave us the most important and valuable gift that he has, and only God had it, eternal life through faith in Christ Jesus. And this is what's exciting, everyone, is literally my gifts and my talents and the things I'm excited about, my relationships, everything within me is flourishing so much more since I have received my true identity and continual healing. This calling that we receive can never be taken away from us, and it can never be eaten by the attacks or the distractions of this world. It will make you steadfast and courageous and confident. It will bring you joy and peace, and you can truly celebrate others and not feel jealous. This is why in church we struggle with that so much. People are so jealous and they feel so bitter towards other people because they're comparing themselves to them and they don't know what it means to really be walking in our calling. And knowing your true calling and your true purpose helps us to stop idolizing people and their giftings and putting someone on a pedestal. So if you have believed on Jesus today, you have received your calling and your purpose. Congratulations. Now you can relax.
Amen. Ooh. Ooh, why you drop it like that, though? Ooh. Dang. Mm-mm. What we gonna, now, what am I supposed to say after that, Sade? Now, what am I supposed to do? Okay. Y'all see how Sade be doing me? Mm-mm. Oh my God. Wow. Well, does that the main, that was a myth and misconceptions? I don't think there's
yes.
anything left. That was fun. That
okay,
was fun.
I guess Jeremy is saying amen. So
amen. I got nothing, y'all. She when not only did she beat it, she beat the stank out of it. My gosh.
All right, then. So we are going to move into our main topic. Obviously, as y'all can see, I'm very passionate about that topic of your calling and your purpose because I know how much it has brought so much death and lack and inferiority complexes to people. And every time that I hear it preached somewhere, I just want to like throw up in my mouth because I'm like, you're not even speaking the truth on that. And you see they people are like, yes, amen. But in their eyes and in their heart, you can feel just more sadness and more torment and more discontent. And so I know that this is going to encourage a lot of people. It may be difficult to receive at first, but I'm telling you, when you receive it, it changes everything. So we're going to move into our main topic, segment 3. And this topic, Jeremy, I wanted to have us talk about healing from trauma and the past. Healing from trauma and the past. You know, we're going to have us talk about how God is able to heal us from trauma and the past. How does trauma and the past affect our relationship with God, ourselves, and others? So that's the first question, Jeremy, is how does trauma and the past affect our relationship with God, ourselves, and others?
It wires us for what we think and assume people will treat us as is how we've been treated. It causes us to walk inside of relationships with God, ourselves, and others with a hardened heart, a closed heart, a defensive heart, a guarded heart. So that the love that we so deeply desire that can only heal us and bring us into wholeness is actually the thing that we reject and retreat from because we don't know that it's love because we've never actually experienced it before.
Mm-hmm.
And so trauma begins to rob us and it tells us lies that the pain of what happened to us that stays with us is closer to us than the love that surpasses the pain. And so we actually end up protecting the pain, defending the pain, keeping the pain safe, making sure that it is never discarded, because we actually realize it becomes the only thing that we know. And so we actually find safety in the pain instead of actually allowing love to become our safety and our safe place.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what happens in regarding to our perceptions of others and ourselves and God. And when we enter into relationship and it requires vulnerability, it requires openness, it requires transparency, and it requires intimacy, which can only be experienced with an open heart, it is the thing we become the most terrified of, realizing that that pain has made us believe that love is our enemy.
Yeah, so true. And I found that our worldview oftentimes is based on trauma and the past. And so we're not even able to have a clear view or understanding of something, because everything that we see, everything that we think, how we feel, how we hear, how we receive, how we even go about our days is based on things that have happened to us. And not only what has happened to us, but what we think that that says about us and our lives.
Yeah. Wow.
We don't even realize that many of the things that we think we like and who we are and we have determined to be our personality type or things about us are not even who we really are. I talk about this, you know, from my own testimony, that I feel like I've only just really begun to start really learning past couple years and even the past 6 months, because it's just continued to manifest more in my life. You see, like, wow, this is who I am outside of fear. This is who I am outside of anxiety. This is who I am outside of other people's opinions. This is what I like outside of this. Oh, this is how I think about this. And you don't realize that so many things that you thought were a part of your personality or your thought process or how you did things were from pain and trauma and from the past and not a part of who you really are. Yeah. Jeremy, what recent areas of healing have you experienced, and how has God brought about this healing for you?
You know, it's interesting. Healing from living from me and God's history. Never heard that one before, huh? It's new. Not healing. Right? Not healing from what someone else has done to me, but healing from the expectation of what God has done to me. Not that he has hurt me, but realizing that God is maturing us, and even though we are childlike, there are still childish things that he is perfecting to mature us. And so there were parts of me that God was the father of in the past, and he had responded to. And so I thought, well, because God is responding to that, I should always remain in that. And God's like, no, Jer. You were too immature for you to understand what was going on. So this is why I was doing what I was doing in that place. But you are no longer childish in that area. Now you have become a man in that area. And I no longer respond according to the history that you're used to responding to me to, because you're not the same Jeremy as you once were. So I had to recalibrate and ask God, well, who am I now as a matured man in this area, and how do I interact with you in this place? Because I'm only used to doing it this way with you, and you're saying you're no longer in that anymore. We've grown up. We've matured. We've perfected. We have laid things down. We've surrendered. We've died. We have come to an end in those areas, and God had to teach me how to become a man in an area that I didn't even know that I was a man in now. So healing in that, accepting the wholeness in that, receiving the responsibility that comes with that I was never aware of before, that I was ignorant to, and being able to steward that place, because now I was in a place where I was equipped, and I was in a place of remaining, and I had a foundation that was so deep to where now I was entrusted with that place, where before I just trusted God with that place.
That's so good. Yeah. For me, I would say God has really been helping me. And I want to say we probably talked about this in the special episode of my Sade Champagne show that you did with me. And we talked about, like, God has really been helping me to release my fear of being hurt. Also of not allowing what happens to me in this world to change how I love and who I am. Because we see that so many people will harden their hearts. They become more isolated. They become more afraid because of experiences that they've had. And not even just the experiences, but you've talked about this before, but their perception of the experience and what they think that it says about them. Because it's not just the pain that hurts. It's what does this pain say? And this is why identity and always remaining in that are so huge. Because even in that, and when something can hurt, when you can have a fear rise to the surface, we're able to work through that with God. And if it is involving another person, work through it with another person, with the relationship that we feel is worth preserving. And you feel God bringing you so much freedom to your heart. And God saying, like, no matter what happens to you in this world, Sade, I am going to heal you and I'm going to lift you up. And I want you to continue being you no matter what. I want you to continue walking in your innocence, walking in the love and the grace that you have, and not allowing what happens to you in this world to stop you from loving and caring for people. Because that was one of the things, even growing up, that I was bullied and teased about, and things that my family were not happy with me about. It's like, you're too loving and you're too kind and you need to toughen up and you need to be strong. And this, and it's funny because now obviously I see that it is a strength that God has made me this way, but you know, you need to be strong because people are going to want to take advantage of you or this is going to happen. And obviously there is such a thing as wisdom and discernment. But as we talked about in episode 4, wisdom and discernment shouldn't lead me away from love. It should draw me into love. And so God has been helping me to learn how to fully embrace the moment and the time that I'm in, to fully embrace what it's like to love and to be loved and to truly experience that without fear of what can happen. Because I feel like a lot of people, myself included, we don't actually get to fully enjoy something the way that we were meant to and the way that God would want us to, because there is that fear and that lie of, like, well, what if this happens and what can this mean if this happens and how will I begin again, or what, you know, just all types of things that would run through your mind. And so God has really been freeing me up in that, and I just have so much more peace and so much more gladness, and realizing that all these things that I was taught that were not strengths are actually strengths. They're not flaws at all. They're actually a part of how God is and how God has made me to be. And so What are some things that you would like to encourage our listeners on in this area of them receiving healing from trauma and the past?
Oh, man. The greatest revelation of healing the past is living from God's history instead of your own. When you start at where Jesus rose again, pain will never have to be the guard or the God of your heart ever again. Pain will come, and you won't be afraid of what it can do or what it wants to do when it's up, because you have finally starting to live from where life will always be sustained from and where love will always be found in. And that's where Jesus said, you are not only just worthy of my death, but you are worthy of me living forever with you. God did not want to be God without you. That's your history. And he still chooses that to this day. And so I love it in scripture where it talks about in Romans 8, he says, for our current sufferings are in no comparison to the glory that is being revealed to us. They are of no comparison. I don't care what has happened to you. We are called to live from God happening to you. And what happened to you ended. And that pain may have still traveled with you. But I'm here today to tell you that what God has done for you and is still doing for you and who he is to you is far closer, is clung tighter, and way stronger than the thing that is attached to you that you think is happening over and over again. And I'm going to tell you, it is not repeating itself. The only thing that is, thank you, Jesus, for this. The only thing that is repeating itself over and over is God's irrevocable love for you. That is the only thing that's repeating itself over. Not what happened to you. That stopped. But the only thing that didn't stop was God saying, I love you. I love you. I'll never let you go. I'll never hurt you. I'll never forsake you. I'll always heal you. I am your provision. I'll never run out for you. I will always be everything to you. Your value will never diminish or never rise because of how good you are to me on one day than the other. That is the only thing that's repeating over and over in your life. And that is my encouragement to you.
Yes, yes. And I would encourage you all to know that God doesn't bring hard times or challenges in your life in order to test you or make you a better person. And that your trauma and your past and the things you've been through in this life do not make you who you are. Those are two big lies that we've been taught in the world. And I want you to know that it says that the Holy Spirit is the greatest teacher and that God doesn't need to take you through horrible things in your life in order for God's purposes and plans for you, which is for you to receive eternal life through Christ Jesus, for you to be a son or daughter of God, for you to never feel alone, separated, or lack, or without life again. He doesn't need to take you through a bunch of trauma and struggles in order to show you that. And so for anyone who has been believing that lie, thinking that God just let you suffer, that God just stood to the side, that God wanted you to suffer, that this is how you're going to become a better person, that this is how you're going to help people in the world. No. All lies, and that serve as a way to destroy the father-son, father-daughter family relationship that God has created us to live in. And so if you've been believing that lie today, we just thank God even right now that he's bringing healing to your heart, that he's bringing healing to your being, and that you will be able to know that God has been involved in every single area of your life, that anytime you've experienced the most trauma, the most pain, that God was right there in it with you, feeling everything that you felt, and God's heart is just as broken as yours was. God hates to watch us be hurt. It talks about when it says about Jesus wept, and he wept when Lazarus passed, and because that was his friend, and God cared for him, and God loved him, and that is how God feels about you. That is how much God cares for you, that he'd be willing to endure any type of pain, no matter what it was, in order so that we could receive eternal life. And so we want to encourage you in that today, that God is not the author or the causer of your pain or your hard times, or God doesn't bring up hard times in order to test you or teach you, and God doesn't need to put you through a bunch of crap in order for you to become a better person and help other people. God is going to be God all on his own and doesn't need us to do things in order for God to be God. And so we want to encourage you in that as we wrap up that segment. Do you have any final thoughts on it, Jeremy?
No, that's perfection right there.
So we are going to move into segment four, which is our Q&A. This is where we answer a few questions sent in to us each week. You can always message us your questions on our social media pages, Jeremy Watkins or Sade Champagne. And once again, we are so thankful for everyone's feedback on each episode so far. We love it when you send us your voice messages, when you send us texts and written messages and emails and social media, and you respond in comments, and we're just so thankful for your support. So, Jeremy, our first question is, what should I do if it is my mother who I see every day is the one who puts me down the most?
Well, you have to be able to, number one, we have to come to an end that just because they're our parents doesn't mean that we don't create boundaries with them. They do not have rights or passage to dishonor you just because you were called to honor them. Honor is reciprocated. I think it is very important that you have that conversation and let your mom know what she's doing and the pain that it's causing, and that your goal is to only have rightful, healthy, and wholesome connection with her, so you don't have to be afraid of her, so you don't have to disconnect from her, so you don't have to hide from her because all she does is bring pain. And I would encourage you to pray for her, because obviously your mom's hurting from something that may not have anything to do with you, and she's just taking it out on you. So the best place to resolve that is say, Mom, what's going on in your heart? What's hurting you? Because I know that this isn't you, and I know who you really are, and I want to walk with you and what's hurting you so we don't have to hurt each other. And when you make love the choice of common ground and reconciliation and healing the issue, that's when hearts become open and are able to resolve and expose the thing that's happening, and love begins to come in and heal and reconcile and bring into wholeness the relationship. So the first thing I would do is pray and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal what it is that your mom is hurting from. And if you are not a Christ follower, I would have a conversation with your mother and ask her what's going on with her. And if she shares, you partnership with her. You have partnership. You walk with her. You encourage. And if she doesn't share and you let her know what's hurting is to let her know that if she continues the behavior, you are going to have to create a boundary to ensure that you are not allowing someone to bring abuse and pain into your life, even if it is your parent.
Yep. I don't have to add anything to that. I agree. So question number two, how do I deal with stress during the holidays? And then in parentheses, they said food and family. So how do I deal with stress during the holidays, food and family? So once again, we want to go to the foundation of where is that stress coming from? Do you feel stress from pressure from family members and loved ones? Do you feel disappointment because of loss that you've had or lack that you may feel? Or are you feeling some pain because of past experiences from the holidays? You know, I think it's important to pinpoint where that pain is coming from, because a lot of times we always want to deal with the symptoms and not deal with the root of where something is coming from. And so if you know exactly where it's coming from, I would say within that area to allow God's love in to that area and to help bring you hope during that time. And if you have friends who are supportive and encouraging and that, you know, continue to remind you of who you are, spend as much time as you can with those friends during the holidays. I know for a lot of people it can be very difficult for them, you know, during the holiday season, and it's a very triggering time for a lot of people. And what's been so awesome in my own life is not only has God been bringing healing to me, but God's been giving me new memories. God's given me new memories and new experiences, so that all the things, the memories that I had before of certain holidays and dates and certain things, I no longer am just seeing that as my marker, but God is like, but think about this. Look at how we're doing this, and this is taking place. And so I want to encourage you with God to allow yourself to have new memories during the holidays. And if you are able to have, just like the question we received before, you may have to create some healthy boundaries during that time during the holidays. Like, I've had friends who tell me, like, they get stressed out because family members, you know, they're getting together during the holidays and the first thing they want to ask them is, where's your husband or your wife and when you're going to have kids? And so they're getting stressed out. And so you don't have to answer everyone's questions just because they're your family member, or even if they're an adult. You know, I'm not sure if this is a student who sent this in to me, an adult, but that doesn't mean you have to answer all of their questions, and you don't have to let everyone into all of your business just because they're your family. You can say no comment, or you can move on to the next question with a smile, and you don't have to continuously be in the presence of people that just want to wreak havoc in your life. And that doesn't mean you don't love them, doesn't mean you don't care about them, but you have to be able to protect your mental health and your emotional and spiritual health, and be able to spend time with people who are going to foster the best in you and help to encourage you.
And that's what we call a slam dunk. Two hands, actually, in the windmill.
All right, so we're going to move on to question number three. Jeremy, it says, do you think that two people can have different spiritual beliefs and still have a successful relationship?
It depends on what you measure success as. Because, yeah, you can, and yes, you can. It's interesting. That's a variable response. There's so many dynamics to that. Number one, there are Christians saying they think they believe in the same God, but they have different spiritual beliefs. So, and there are people who have Buddhist, Muslim, whatever, where it's a different religion. So I think it depends on what the difference is of the spiritual belief. Is it a different religion? Is it a different understanding and perspective of God? There's so many variables of that. Number two, what do we define as successful? Do we not talk about it and we just make that an individual space that we don't come together in, and everything else is like fine and we can be intimate in that space with that one? Or do we talk about it and we're just okay with having strong disagreement, but we're able to still love each other? What is success? You know, so I think that that's one of those things where I think that's an individual variable that you have to choose what you want success to be. Because I think that when you come to your spiritual belief system, it is the deepest level of intimacy in connection.
Mm-hmm.
How we view God, which determines how we view ourselves and how we view one another.
Mm.
So if we can come to an agreement that we are in the same place, then that will be the foundation of what sustains and creates the measure of your success in the relationship. And that, to me, sounds like the highest success, because there's no end to it. There's no ceiling. There's no cap. But if there's difference in the spiritual belief system and it's causing disagreement and a lack of peace and a lack of enjoyment, and there's this, like, eggshell thing that you guys have to walk around when that area comes up, you may still be able to have enjoyment in the relationship, but do you want to have an area which is the deepest part of your relationship, the place where you can still call it success? So I think that you have to be the decider of what you want it to be. Limitless, without ceiling, and no end, or something that you can come to a common ground on, but the thing that you are the most passionate about the most is the thing where you actually are the most disagreement the most. And I think you have to decide what you want that experience to be like for you.
Mm-hmm. And this would go back into what Jeremy said in a previous episode, that we people will stay in things for a very long time out of comfort and, you know, out of fear of being alone, even if they're not receiving the highest fulfillment in that relationship. And so I definitely agree. For me, if you're asking what we think personally, I would say from my personal relationship, no, that it wouldn't work for me. But for somebody else, they may say that it could work for them. So you have to determine what that is for you. But we just ask you, please don't make any lifelong decisions without knowing for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, so we're going to move into our final question that says, I miss him, but there's no contact. What should I do?
I mean, that depends on why he's not present. Yeah, that depends on why he's not present. If you miss someone that you know was causing you pain, or if you miss someone that you know is just settling, not because the person is less worthy than you, but because of the experience you have with them, or it could be that it could be great, but you know that it's just not for you. If you're missing someone that you know there is no intention to be together because it's not the healthiest or most enjoyable experience for you, the best thing you should do is find closure. Because that same space that you're allowing to occupy in your heart, mind, and feelings about someone that you no longer have could easily be consumed, number one, with God, or number two, consumed with someone that you actually can enjoy that you don't have to miss. And I think oftentimes we allow spaces inside of us to stay occupied with dead things. And the best thing to do is to grieve it if that's needed, and to really allow what you experience to express it and say, man, I accept it. It's beautiful. This wasn't beautiful. Learn from it and allow yourself to grow and move forward so that you are not living in the present, but your heart is still waiting in the past. That would be my encouragement to you.
Yeah, for sure. If it's not something that's a deal breaker and that you can work through, I would encourage you to reach out to him. And if you've already tried reaching out to him and he's not willing to respond, then that's definitely when closure is needed. But if it's because one of you is not willing to reach out or you both are scared, then I would encourage you to reach out, because I do feel like, and this kind of can go to what we talked about in our previous episode, sometimes as women, we can feel like, especially if we are so stuck in these gender roles or how we should do things, we can find it hard to be able to reach out and to be able to find resolution or healing, because if we will allow ego or allow pride to take control and we say, well, I'm not going to do that because this person is the one that's wrong and they need to do this, so I'm not reaching out. And then you end up not being able to heal in that relationship and move forward, because we allow ego and pride as to take control, as opposed to saying, you know what, maybe this was both of our fault, or maybe it was more of his fault. Maybe it was my fault, but I want to have this person in my life. I miss them. I want to see if we can work through this. And then you reach out to them. And I don't think that says anything less about you or your identity or your confidence just because you want to reach out to someone and see if the relationship can heal. But this is all depending on if it's a non-negotiable and if it was a healthy relationship. Because if it wasn't, then you need to follow through with Jeremy's advice instead.
Correct. That was great.
Yeah. All right. So that was our final question. We're going to move into our last segment, segment 5, prayer requests. Every week we love praying for you, and you send us in your prayer requests. As always, you can message us on social media. We love to encourage you. And so we are going to take turns with these prayer requests. Our first one, Jeremy, I'm going to let you take this one. It says, my grandpa in Mexico fell in the bathroom and had a stroke. The left side of his body got very, so he lost control of movement on that side. He had an appointment this week, and they're going to start therapy soon. This is anonymous.
Okay. Father, we just thank you so much for your grandfather. God, we just thank you that, Lord, you are already restoring life into his body. Everything that is broken, you are making whole again. God, everything that is bruised, God, you are massaging and fleshing out that it will no longer cause pain. God, I pray that you would just restore the heart of the grandfather, God, that he would not be afraid of the damage that his body has subdued, that he would be more focused on the God who can repair it all in a moment. God, I just pray right now, God, that you would just give the doctors wisdom and that he would go through the proper treatment if that is necessary, God, for him to enjoy the process of God being with him. So, Father, I pray that you would just allow joy and delight of resting in his Father, that no matter what is happening to his body, God, his spirit is in rest with you, Father, knowing that you will be the great physician of his born old body. God, we just pray, Lord, that you would just begin to produce eternal life inside of it. God, I just pray that healing would take place. God, I pray that you would restore his strength. I pray that you would restore his body. God, I even pray that you would restore his energy, Lord. God, I pray that you would give him stability and balance, and that you would allow him to have coordination, and that he will not be able to allow himself to have accidents due to his age. But God, I pray that you would just give him clarity. God, and I pray that you would just allow him to be stabilized according to your presence inside of him. The Lord, you will keep him. You will sustain him inside and out. And Lord, that you would also strengthen just his awareness at his age. And we just ask this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. So next prayer request, I'm going to pray for Jessica. She says her coworker passed away last week in a recent train accident. She says, it has been rough and my heart hurts so much. Can you just keep her family and friends in your prayers? Her name was Annie, and work's been keeping my mind busy, but I haven't been sleeping much lately. All right. We pray, Father God, right now for Jessica and her friend Annie's family and her friends. We cannot even imagine what they're going through right now and just what they are experiencing. But we know that you hurt with them, Jesus. We know that you are right there in the midst of everything that they're going through. And first off, I just want to pray for Annie's family and her friends and everyone who's affected by her passing, and that you're just bringing great comfort to their hearts, Jesus, that you're bringing comfort and peace to their hearts during this time of mourning and grieving, that any depression that they're feeling, any shock, any suicidal thoughts they could be feeling, that Jesus, that you are just bringing life to them. You're bringing life to them and hope to them and everyone who's been affected by her loss. And even Jesus, as they're preparing for her funeral and all the costs and everything, as they're just trying to gather their thoughts, I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are guiding their steps, that you're leading them, that you are just being exactly who you are in this. And even for Jessica as well, that as much pain as she feels, Jesus, I thank you that she has not taken this burden on herself. And I know she's already been going through a difficult time. I thank you that you are just comforting her and bringing her your peace and your eternal life. I thank you that resurrection is who you are and that you're able to bring that to this family and giving them peace about Annie, knowing that she is safe with you, knowing that as sad as it is that you are taking care of your beloved daughter and just bringing comfort to this family in Jesus' name. You know exactly what they need. You know exactly everything that they're feeling and how to comfort them and take care of them in this time. In Jesus' name, we thank you. Amen.
Amen.
All right, next we want to pray for, have you prayed, Jeremy, for Alexa. She said, breakthrough in her finances, no more debt bondage.
Amen. God, we just pray for Alexa right now, God, to receive your eternal provision that stems from your fatherly love. that God, whenever she runs out, I love when Sade says this, you just ask for more, daughter. God, I pray that right now, Lord, you're just providing breakthrough. Your God, that you would just increase your credit score, that you would cancel out debt, God, that you would just allow everything that is owed in her name to be paid by you, Jesus, and by your blood. Father, we thank you that you are providing supernatural provision. Father, I pray that you would allow job opportunities to come, that you would open up doors of increase in wages, that God, that you would provide an increase in salary, Father. Not only are you providing for her financially, God, I pray that you provide for her internal life, that God, that she would live from the richness of her seat in the highest places with Jesus, God, that she is living from her identity as daughter, that she would never feel like she is lacking just because the quality of life in her earthly life looks like it's diminishing. But God, in her spiritual life with the Father, God, it is forever increasing. Her quality of life is eternal. It is always at its highest peak and never decreasing. So, Father, I pray that she just live from that place and allow all of the things on the outside manifest from everything that's happening from the inside. So, Father, I pray that you would just reconcile her back to her inheritance of being a daughter, her inheritance of sitting at the table, her inheritance of having a seat reserved that cannot be replaced, God, this inheritance of your love and your provision, God, that sustains her from now all the way into eternity. So, God, I pray that, Lord, you would just allow her to rest into the crown of being a part of the royal family, Father, and that you would not allow another moment or any day in her life to ever accumulate lack ever again, and she would receive from your loving provision. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right, next is for Tina. Tina says, for hope and prosperity. All right, Father God, we thank you so much for your beloved daughter, Tina. Thank you so much for her life, Jesus. I thank you that you are hope and you are prosperity, Jehovah Jireh. And I thank you that even in this moment, Jesus, that you are revealing who you really are to Tina and to her heart, and that she is able to receive your hope and your prosperity for her life. I thank you that whatever she thought hope and prosperity were before, that you are wiping that out and you are showing her what it really looks like in you, Jesus, that it is something that can never be taken away from her. Even talk about in Scripture, where it says, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. I thank you. This is exactly what we pray for Tina and for her life, Jesus. And I thank you that you are just renewing her joy and her strength, and that you are just making a way for her in such a wonderful way that she would have never expected. That is just unique and custom made for her heart and for her desires, and that you're partnering with her and you're bringing her your peace and your joy. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, amen. We have prayer requests. Next one is from Mickey. She says, for God's strength and wisdom and to bless my sis, Sade. Thank you, Mickey.
Amen.
Do you want to pray for Mickey, Jeremy?
God, we just pray right now, Lord, that you're strengthening Mickey. God, we thank you that, Lord, your grace is you sustaining her, God. She gets to depend on your performance, your ability, and what you have strived to already complete through the work of Jesus. God, I pray that she would rest in your ability, rest in your care, rest in what only you can do, Father, that with you all things are possible, Father. And I just pray, God, that you just give her wisdom, God, that she can ask to see as you see, to know as she knows, to think as she thinks, as she has the mind of Jesus Christ. God, she has your spirit. Mm-hmm. There is no part of you that is inaccessible, God. She can enter through any gateway of who you are, God, and be able to access you as God, to know what's going on inside of you, so that she can be able to look at her life from that place. So, Father, we just pray that you would just allow intimacy to be the place that she draws strength from and see all of life through. And we ask this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. And our final prayer request is from Nicole. She asks that we pray for her friend Charity. Her grandma just had heart surgery. Father God, we thank you so much for Charity's grandma. We thank you that even in her surgery that you were with her. And I thank you, Jesus, for giving her a new heart, that whatever type of surgery she had within her heart, I thank you, Jesus, that it was successful, that she is already on the road to recovery. And I thank you, Jesus, for just breathing new life into her, and that you have already made a home within her heart. I thank you, Jesus, for just extending her life and for accelerating her forward in your grace and your love and your strength, and that during this time when she is recovering, that she will be receiving visions of how much you love her, how much you cherish her, and that she will be hearing your voice even more clearly, seeing you more clearly, experiencing life with you more clearly, and that as she heals and she begins life again, it will be from a brand new, amazing place. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, Jeremy, we have gotten to the end of episode 7.
Wow. Wow.
We are moving
wow.
and grooving here.
Jeez, so fast.
Yeah. We want to thank you all so much for tuning in to episode 7 of our brand new show, Matters of the Heart, on Grindheart Radio and 57WLLE.net. Internet radio. Please share this episode and continue to let us know your thoughts and how it is encouraging and blessing you. Each episode of Matters of the Heart will be available to listen to again and download on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Live 365, YouTube, Grindheart Radio, and countless other streaming platforms. I'm Sade Champagne.
And I'm Jeremy Watkins.
And we'll see you next Friday at 6 p.m. Pacific Time on Grindheart Radio, and next Sunday at 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on 57WLLE.net Internet Radio for a brand new episode.